The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But what does this look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of Fruitful Single. My guest today is Jeremy Schmitz. Jeremy, what does a typical week look like for you?
Well, I have a regular job Monday through Friday. Or in the meantime, or after that, I should say, in the evenings, I like to go and evangelize. I like to go to the university here in Rolla to strike up conversations. So really, it's conversational evangelism. But sometimes I'll do some open-air preaching or maybe hold up some signs or just give out some tracts. Sometimes we'll go door-to-door. I don't do it enough, but my favorite thing to do is to evangelize, and especially at the university.
How do you strike up conversations with people?
My favorite way to start is with a tract, because it draws attention to the tract. It gets the conversation going right away. It gets on the topic of spiritual matters, and then they understand what I'm out there doing. The attention really is drawn to the tract rather than to the stranger, so I find it's an easy start. And then you'll get to know how interested they are immediately by their response.
Do you live alone or do you live with other people?
Oh, okay. Actually, I'm blessed. I live with my parents and two brothers who've had a lot of health problems throughout their life. So I'm one of eight. Well, the three of us have never been married. So the two of my brothers have been very sick throughout their life. And then my parents and one of my parents has had some mental illness too, as would be described. So, but I've been blessed to live with them.
You mentioned you have a job. What's your job, and how do you choose as far as how much time to devote to that, and how much time to do your evangelism and other things?
I'm a financial analyst at a company here in Rolla, and they give me a lot of flexibility. Praise be to God. So I'm able to go. I can take a long lunch and go to campus. University to evangelize. I can take, I've got great benefits. I can take time off. Like I was able to go to Mexico. Been able to go there a couple times a year to evangelize. And I was to Uganda a couple months ago. So actually, Daniel, my plan is, praise be to God, he has called me for whatever reason, in his goodness, he's called me to go to Uganda to actually move there. So even though I've been working at this job for 18 years, he's called me to move to Uganda, and he clearly initiated and directed and opened up doors and placed it on my heart, and I plan to be working with close Ugandan friends next year.
That's exciting. What will you be doing there?
Really plan to spread the gospel with any different means that the Lord provides. So that's our main desire, is get the word of God out. But then we want to follow the Lord's leading to in other ways he might have us serve, because he's certainly put the children there on my heart as well, abundantly.
So, there's lots of spiritual needs and lots of work, evangelism that needs to happen in the United States, as you're well aware. What factors have led you to say, I think I need to relocate to a country outside of the U.S., to Uganda in your case?
Yeah, I was quite content staying here in the States and spreading the gospel. You're right. There's so many opportunities really everywhere. Even here, I live in a city of about 20,000 people. And plenty of opportunities, even for someone to go full time. But as I met close Ugandan friends a couple of years back, they kept inviting me to come and then praying for me to come, even fasting and praying for me to come. And I told them, well, Uganda's not on my heart. Africa's not on my heart. I go into Mexico a couple times a year for events. But as they kept praying and asking, I said, well, I'll pray about it. That's wise for us to seek God's will and be done, not mine, even though it's not on my heart. Well, within a few days after starting to pray about it, about four different people in my life said firmly, Jeremy, you should go to Uganda. And so I took that as God's answer, just to at least go.
What was it like doing evangelism in Mexico?
When I went there for the first time, it was in Guadalajara, and started handing out tracts, I was astonished how often they would start reading the whole thing. I'm not used to seeing it. In the States, most people are polite and will accept one, but just kind of casual. I rarely see an American read a tract. And you know, I'm thankful for any seed sown. I'm thankful for any opportunity. But it's especially gratifying to see people read the whole thing. So Mexico, they were very open. And I thought that was unbeatable. But the Ugandans even more so in terms of reading tracts, receiving with enthusiasm. A lot of times if people would see me handing out a tract, they would come up and ask if they could have one. So they actually were asking for tracts and reading them right away. And in many different environments, it's like no matter where I was, if people were on the job, they'd start reading. At a gas station, start reading. And on the street, start reading. If they're street vendors, they'd start reading. It was just amazing. Daniel, in Mexico, in Guadalajara, so it's a city of 5 million people, it's great for open-air preaching, too. The Mexicans, they show a lot of interest in that. And it's, every time we did some of that, people would stop. Again, I'm not used to that in the States. But then in Uganda, again, even more interest. I mean, I was astonished. And we could go to, in Uganda, you can go to schools, preach, prisons, hospitals. It's remarkable.
Wow, that's great. So how will you be supported once you go to Uganda?
Yeah, I'm just trusting in the Lord. Because he made it so clear he wants me to go, that I'm going forward knowing that he will provide. And that may sound impressive, but it doesn't... Economically, they're so poor there. My friends have told me it won't take much to get by from a U.S. dollar standpoint. So
yeah.
I've had some people who've agreed to support me. I'm not asking anybody. I like Hudson Taylor's approach. Mm-hmm. Don't solicit. Don't take a collection. Just trust in God. That way he gets all the glory. And if he sends, if it's his will, he'll provide for it. Mm-hmm. So my church is going to provide some. My concern really though is all the needs that are out there. The different pastors that I met and worked with, there's some of them who have inadequate living conditions. They don't even have a house. Kind of, maybe one is living in the church. His children can't afford school. But he's doing that for the gospel. So they're the ones that have need. Since I'm single, I think I'll be able to get by. The Lord will take care of that. But I just saw all the other needs there, that I'm praying that the Lord will provide for the others.
Any particular tips you can give for having an evangelistic conversation with people, being able to hit the main things?
It's a good question. Most believers, including me, when I started evangelizing Daniel, I expected people knew the bad news, that people knew they'd sin. Mm-hmm. And so I just started talking about Jesus, the good news, so excited about Jesus. I began to see, no, most people do not believe the bad news. They don't see that they need a Savior. They think they can see. Mm-hmm. They don't think they're blind, to refer mm-hmm. to Jesus' statement in John 9. Mm-hmm. So the more I began to talk to people, the more I began to learn. No, the heart of man is very prideful, as was mine. I thought I was a good person, too. I didn't think I needed a Savior. But it was God's word that convicted me, specifically the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus said about adultery, about murder, Romans chapter 3, mm-hmm. Very specific. So God is so gracious. He doesn't speak on sin generically. I mean, obviously he used that word, mm-hmm. but like with Romans, I like to follow that example. I mean, going back to your question, mm-hmm. Romans is, I guess, kind of the method that I use, where the book of Romans is very thorough on sin in chapters 1 and 2 and half of chapter 3, many specifics. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of Romans 1, there's like 20 plus sins mentioned. And then, of course, such a beautiful description of the gospel in 3, 4, and 5. Although there is a beautiful introduction in the first part of Romans chapter 1. But I kind of follow that method too, is throw on the bad news, throw on the good news. But if people are very prideful, I find though that they actually like talking about themselves, and they like analyzing really bad things, or, you know, in other words, God's commands. So I start out on my cards. It's how many times have you card? And then it takes them through a list of sins. How many times have you lied, cussed, stolen, had sex outside of marriage? So I'll just take it. You'll be surprised that people actually like going through that and analyzing that.
Did you kind of write your own tract then?
Yes, my friends and I.
Nice.
You got to have written our own tract. I like that because it's very heartfelt. Then you can have it cover exactly what you want to say. I mean, there's no perfect tract, and there's so many beautiful truths in the Bible. I like this because it's personal. I wrote it, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's very precious for me to give. And I tell people, this, you know, my friends and I wrote this. We care about your soul. So there's something very gratifying about being able to give something personally away that we have written.
Let's say where there's somebody listening who's never really done street witnessing before, or they're shy, and they're like, you know, that's great for you guys. I really admire what you do. I could never do something like that. How would you encourage somebody like that?
Let's trust in Jesus Christ, and he will give us the power. At the end of Matthew, he says, I will be with you. So we are weak. Let's realize that. Let's realize that we're going to be against the world. Our flesh will be against it constantly. We don't like rejection. I have a fear of others. I don't like when people get angry, even though most time when people reject, they're very polite about it. And you'll find many people who are thankful and courteous. And actually, it doesn't take long, even in America, to get into a conversation with somebody. Every time I go to campus, within minutes, someone stops and talks. I have a lengthy conversation with one or two people every time I go. But for the one who's never done it, it does seem terrifying. But use that fear to cause you to pray to Jesus Christ, pray to the Heavenly Father and say, please give me strength. Please fill me with the boldness from the Spirit. Because even Paul himself prayed for boldness. And as they say, the only reason why we need boldness is because we have fear. If we didn't have fear, we wouldn't even need boldness. So just for the one who's not done it before, just have the desire to do it. This is what Jesus wants. Jesus came to save people, gave his life for people. He's given us the commission to go out. So let's have the love for him and the love for others to walk out in obedience. But it can start slow, giving out tracts, even leaving them on the counter, at a store, at a restaurant, curling them up and putting them on door handles, front doors. We've got some tracts that will fit their hard stock that will stick and stay on a front door of a house. So there's different ways, but if a person gets started giving out tracts and is faithful in that, you'll get people to start to ask, well, what is this about? And so if a person is really timid about conversing with people, well, a tract will open up opportunities and make it easier to speak on it. But if a person doesn't need tracts, if there's other methods, the person is comfortable just striking up a friendly conversation and swinging it to spiritual matters, and I say praise God. The point is just to get out and practice. We have to practice. It's like an instrument. I mean, I could go to a seminar on how to play a saxophone, and that'd be great. Get advice from experts, but I have to pick up the saxophone. There's no way for me to learn it myself just by listening to others. I have to start playing. And so with evangelism, the Lord will encourage. He will train us. He is the trainer. So we have to be willing to start being trained and to participate in it.
Amen. Yeah. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right?
Amen. Yeah.
That's all the questions I've got. Anything else that you can think of you want to say?
Well, I just give thanks to God for his goodness. We are so weak. But it's such a joy to be able to be fishers of men. It's a privilege to be an ambassador for the Lord. Let's take advantage of it. If we have a family, then let's use that. Family is great for like hospitality ministry, especially. And there's different things. I have brothers who have children. You know, families obviously, and they do a great job of training their children to give out tracts, and so they're training disciples. Now, my situation being single, I can go places, I can do things, I can stay out later. There was a while we did bar ministry in downtown Rolla, and we were out there late sometimes. That was easy for me as a single person to do, and my friends, the ones who joined me, were single too. So there's different opportunities that we have, so let's take advantage of it. Let's not be disappointed in our situation, but trust in Jesus and serve him and capitalize on our situation. Be content in a present situation. And maybe the Lord has marriage for us. Maybe not, but we keep our eyes on him and redeem our day.
I hope what Jeremy shared today was encouraging to you. If you have any questions or comments for him, you can write me, daniel@fruitfulsingle.com, and I'll forward your messages on to him. Remember that you can always hear past episodes by going to fruitfulsingle.com, and don't forget to subscribe in your favorite listening app. Until next time, may Jesus bless you with fruitfulness. And remember, don't waste your singleness, because the Lamb's wedding is coming soon.